Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we open our Bibles again to the account of Jesus healing the paralytic, as recorded in Mark chapter 2. It is one of the best known accounts of Christ's healing. It is found in three of the four Gospels, namely Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is one that is a favorite to children. Almost every Sunday school child has heard this story taught in a Sunday school class, probably more than once. And yet it is so filled with instruction and some intriguing questions that I think it's sufficient to keep the most seasoned Bible scholar studying with interest and delight and with some puzzlement until he's called home to heaven. God's Word is that way, and this passage is certainly an illustration of the simplicity of the Bible and the complexity of the Bible all rolled in one. Here's a story that is so simple a child can pick up the main elements, can learn from it, can be taught the way of salvation from it if someone will take the time to draw the appropriate applications from what is found here. And yet it is so complex that there are elements in it that nobody can get to the bottom of completely. There are questions that nobody can answer with certainty, only speculation, as is often found in other passages of God's Word. So it's a good example of the nature of the Bible, both simple and complex, both childlike and adult-like all at the same time. It's very, very clearly so. So we're going to get back into this passage today. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, April 9, and for remembering that we do need financial support to keep teaching God's Word on the station. Well, the powerful teacher is introduced in verses 1 and 2, Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. He entered Capernaum and entered into a house, we are told. He was in the house. And this follows a preaching tour that's described for us in Mark chapter 1. So we know he had been on tour. He'd been traveling from town to town, village to village, place to place, synagogue to synagogue, which of course indicates that he was out for a period of some weeks. The synagogues met on the Sabbath, on Saturday, so if he was preaching in their synagogues, as we read in Mark 1:39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons, so that indicates that this was a preaching tour that lasted some weeks. We don't know how many exactly, but enough for him to be in a variety of synagogues on a variety of Sabbath days. And so this was a very busy time of ministry. It was a very physically exhausting time of ministry, and Jesus in his humanity needed a break. He needed some rest, just like we do. I was talking not too many weeks ago on a Sunday night with one of our men who's been a member of our church for many, many years, and he was telling me about his job and how difficult it has become, and he described some of the changes that had taken place with a change in ownership and so forth. And then he added this to it. He said, "But I also have to admit, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I don't have as much energy as I used to have. I can't take these long days and nights that this job is requiring of me. It's just wearing me out. I think I'm going to have to let it go. I've been working here for years, but I think I'm going to have to let it go and find something else." You see, and I said to him, well, I found the same thing. I said, when I was younger, I used to go all day, and if I didn't have a meeting at night, which I often did, more night meetings than I have now, more night engagements than I have now, because I was full of energy and I wanted to make as much use of my time as I possibly could. But the nights when I was home, after supper, I would usually sit down and spend at least an hour or two doing some serious reading, the kind that requires concentration and evaluation and attention in order to get something out of it. Theology books or other books of Christian doctrine that were very helpful to me that didn't pertain necessarily to the messages that I was preparing at that time, but things that I wanted to read. And I said to him, I don't do that anymore because I can't. I don't have the energy to keep my concentration levels up after a long day of hard labor in ministry. When supper's over, I just need to do some rest and relaxation. That's the human condition. Some of you can relate exactly with what I'm talking about because you're there too. And others of you are saying, what is he talking about? I've never experienced that. And I can tell you that if that's the case, you're probably quite a bit younger than I am. But here Jesus, still a young man at this time in his life, he's not much past the age of 30, but he's giving evidence of needing a break. I think we all need that, no matter what our age. From time to time, we need a break. And Jesus pulled away from his Galilean tour and came to his newly adopted hometown and entered into a house. We're not told whose house. It very, very possibly, even I would be inclined to say probably, was Peter's house. On another occasion, he entered the house of Peter and found Peter's mother-in-law, his wife's mother, sick, and he healed her. Without getting into this too far, let me just point out that Peter was married, he had a mother-in-law. That would not be permissible if Peter were indeed a pope, as claimed by some, or at least the same rules didn't apply to him as applied to popes today who cannot be married. But moving on, Jesus entered a house, Peter's or someone else's. It must have been a house of some considerable size, but he wasn't allowed a time of rest. He entered what Matthew, in his account, calls his own city, and no doubt hoped to get away from ministry for at least a few days so that he could recharge his energy, his physical battery, so to speak, and head back out on another preaching tour, out throughout the towns of Galilee, out preaching in their synagogues again. But in his Galilean home, he was allowed no time of rest. He couldn't get away from the crowds. They were attracted to him. It says it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. The King James says it was noised abroad. I like that particular phrase. It was noised abroad. People talk about what they're interested in. People were talking about this. People will talk with excitement. People will talk noisily about the things that interest them the most. And this apparently fits into that category. It was noised abroad that he was in the house, and therefore a large crowd gathered inside the house, filling up all the available space, and even collecting outside the house. They couldn't even get near the door, some of them. They were outside, and there were too many to even be able to, some of them, to be able to stand near the open door. Maybe some of them were standing near windows. Maybe some of them were in a place where they could not see, but still hoping to hear. They stood outside because they were interested in this man, this teacher, this healer, this unusual prophet of God, as they were beginning to understand that he was. And what was Christ's primary concern as this crowd gathered to him? The last phrase of verse 2 tells us, "And he preached the word to them." Now, in this account, there's going to be a healing, but please don't think that's the main focus of what Christ wanted to do and what he was interested in the crowd observing and taking note of. The healing had its place, and we'll talk about that when we get to the exact account of the healing, but the word takes precedence over everything else. He preached the word. There are different words in the Greek language for verbal communication, for speaking, for preaching, and so forth. This particular one is the Greek word laleo, which is generally used of conversational level of speaking, as opposed to the word keruxo that is used in chapter 1, verse 38. And he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. So when Christ was preaching in a public setting, in a synagogue, or outside on the mountains and wherever he was preaching, the word that is used is keruxo. It's a word that means to proclaim like a herald. It's a very excellent term for public speaking, for outdoor preaching, or for preaching in an auditorium, like a herald, like a king sends out a herald in the days when there was no other way to communicate with his subjects except send a living messenger to them. And so he would send out messengers throughout his kingdom. They would be accompanied by others, and one would, as they came into a town and went to the town square, one would blow the trumpet, da-da-da-da-da-da, gathered the crowd together, and then blow the trumpet again, da-da-da-da-da-da, and say, "Hear ye, hear ye, here's a message from the king." And then the herald, that's the word I'm getting to here, would unfurl his document and proclaim in a loud public voice, a proclamation voice, a herald voice, the kind of voice that you would need to use in an outdoor setting where the whole village, the whole town was gathered together to hear. And he would proclaim to them exactly what the king gave him to proclaim, word for word, without one variation. That's what a faithful herald does. That's what a faithful gospel herald does. He delivers what has been committed to him. He doesn't change it. However, on this occasion, Jesus was speaking, not heralding, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.